In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Bishop Nikolai of Ohrid calls the passages that we've just heard from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first of the two readings that we had, the peak, the height of the Gospel, the highest point of the Gospel. Love your enemies. What good does it do you to love those who love you? This is a kind of passive love, to love those who love you. Bishop Nikolai says that this world is created by agape, love, charity, the highest love, according to the Christian faith, is charity. Charity. We think of charity as a situation where someone who has gives to someone who doesn't have food or clothing, a place to stay. It's a transaction, we think of it in this way, that does both people good. But this isn't the understanding of God's love that creates the world. God's love, his charity, his pouring out of himself, creates the world and sustains the world. He rains his divine energies of goodness upon the just and the unjust. And he expects us, he commands us to do the same, because it is a command of Christ that we love our enemies. Love those who hatefully and spitefully use us. We see him doing the same thing when he is taken and handed over to the authorities, the justice of this world. That's how he expects us to act. It is because this is the foundation of the world that God created. This charity pours out from God constantly. Otherwise, there would be no world for us to live in. Years ago, my family and I lived in Sunset, South Carolina, up in the mountains. And when we first moved there, our water, all of our water, the water for all of our needs, came to us down from high up on the mountain. It was spring water from out of the earth. Families had lived there for generations and had relied on that spring. And we bought this little place there in the mountains. Years later, we did dig our own well. One of the reasons is that if you rely upon a spring, you have to regularly go up the mountain and clean out all of the debris in order to continue to have that delicious tasting spring water come into your home. Sometimes the tap might even stop. No more water coming into the house. And then you would have to climb up the mountain. Not climb, it was a steep hill, but it was a mountain behind our house. And you'd have to find the places where branches had fallen into the water or sediment had collected and open those places up so that the water could flow free again. This inexhaustible source of water. But it could be stopped up. All of the spiritual efforts that we make are efforts to clear the debris that falls into our hearts, into our souls, so that the divine love of God can flow through us. He is the source. Love is active, not passive. Love is something that you do. Unless it is done, there is no love. We don't have to worry about the source, but we have to actively keep anything from stopping up the flow of that love. Love is not an emotion. Many people think that love is an emotion because they've at least experienced that emotion. In trying to think of how we can refer to the emotion, the passion that is love, and what its relationship is to the actual reality that is the divine love of God that is meant to pass through us and to others, we might refer to our recent experience of the eclipse of the sun by the moon. It seems as though it may be that our feelings, our experience of the feeling of love, may be similar to the corona that we can only see when there is a total eclipse of the sun. When we have blocked out temporarily the source, and then we see if we love someone, then we feel, if we love someone, our own love for them, which is God's love passing through us. But if we are blocking the source of that light, we have the joy of experiencing our own feelings of the love of God that passes through us to another person. And it is splendid. It is glorious. But the light of the corona will not bring new life out of the earth. The light of the corona will not sustain us. The light of our feelings and our passions will not sustain us. It's not that it's wrong or that it's evil. It simply will not sustain us. And maybe the best thing about it is that at least at that moment, we are more aware than at any other time of the sun itself, the source, and how it is possible to have 99.99% of that light blocked out when we are focused on that which can stand between the person we love and God. And that may well be ourselves. So love is not a passion. Synergy, which Orthodox talk about a great deal, cooperation with God, is not possible without agape, the highest form of Christian love, charity, the charitable love of God that is given to the world for no reason. If we truly love someone, and we are asked, why do you love this person? And we truly love them. We may make an attempt and think about the things that inspire affection in our hearts when we think of that person. But the true reality, the fact of the matter is that there is no because, there is no reason for the love that we have for a person. We love with the divine love of God passing through us and to this person who is illuminated for us by God's love, giving us the opportunity to truly see the brightness and the glory of another person. There is no reason for divine love. It simply is. We can participate, because we are human beings, created in the image and likeness of God, in this love that God has for his creation. His creation is God's love, become able to experience God himself through us. We are the ones who are able to love God, forget ourselves, and love God. I want to read a quotation from Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich. You know I've been reading his homilies a great deal lately. I've even gained permission from the publishers to record his homilies and put them on our website, which I would like to try to do. Bishop Nikolai says, "We become uncharitable and wait for others to show themselves charitable to us. And others wait for us to be charitable to them. All of us await charity. All of us await this love that is initiated. You see, no reason because. We don't love because we expect something, because we expect to be repaid. We simply love. It is the initiation of love, you see. That's why there's no because. We are able to initiate love as God initiates love. That is agape. That is charitable love. If all are awaiting this kind of love, which is the love that we need and desire to live, then we ourselves become uncharitable, bitter, not having any faith in others, eventually unable to love, hard-hearted. And once we have become hard-hearted, then how can we move from being hard-hearted back to being able to love with this divine charity of God's love, His own energy present in the world? It is the grace of God. You know, there are theologies where the grace of God is made into something we can't participate in because we're too fallen. But this grace of God, the divine energy of God, is love. If it stopped, the world would cease to exist. The creation itself is God's love. But when we become hard-hearted, we don't have access to that any longer. It can't pass through us. How do we deal with that? This is the reason for conflict, the positive reason for conflict. Bishop Nicolai says that it is the striking of stone with stone that always produces a spark. When we are hard-hearted and the other person is hard-hearted and we become involved in conflict between us, there is a spark.
Anger.
That is the opportunity for a return by repentance to love of that person. We are commanded to do it. Love your enemies. Every conflict is the possibility for us to love our enemies. We are not meant to be enemies to one another. And so there is the possibility of this transformation of conflict, this striking of one hard-hearted person against another, and the sparks that fly, we know about them. Those sparks are the opportunity for us to obey the command of Christ and love this person who is, in this moment at least, an enemy. But we are called to transform our relationship to our enemies by way of the ultimate power in the universe. And that is God's own divine love. So we see here how practical this command to love your enemies actually is. We may rather that it not be quite so practical. But we know by the upset within us whenever we are in an argument, especially with someone that we love, that we desire to escape from this trap. Those arguments that we have with those that we love, they are the training ground for this transformation of two hard-hearted people and the sparks that fly and the brokenheartedness that comes because you love this person that you're in the middle of this conflict with. Once we experience that in close life between ourselves and a person that we love, then we are able to more easily do the same thing with our enemies. We are not meant to have enemies. God has no enemies. He transformed those who make themselves enemies into Him if they are willing to accept even one drop of the love that He pours out into the world to moisten the dryness of their souls, dry souls unable to bear fruit in the world, not able to bear spiritual fruit, and to grow toward the fullness of the stature of Christ. So you see, our spiritual life is always available to us, unless our life is conflict-free. And then we may have some difficulty. None of us find ourselves in that kind of situation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.